Yeah, Bob Dylan right there from The Times They Are Changin'. I'd like to tell you that
the views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right. And this is Dove. I'm sitting in here engineering the show, and I have a brand new volunteer who's going to be helping out with the show. Jonathan couldn't be here today, and Jimmy couldn't be here today. So we're just going to kind of wing it here for the next hour and 50 minutes. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing excellent. How about yourself?
Good. How you pronounce your last name again?
O'Flaherty.
O'Flaherty. And after the O, there's the...
There's an apostrophe, but growing up, it was always Dan O'Flattery.
Right on. Where do you live on the island?
I live in Lihue, born and raised in Kalaheo.
Born and raised in Kalaheo. Cool. Right on. Good to have you here. Thanks for volunteering. You've been helping out around the station this past weeks and putting in some really good volunteer time. We really appreciate it, you being in here and helping with our digital. He's been digitizing some of our CDs here. We're trying to switch over to getting our whole library here digitized so we don't have to search around for CDs when someone calls with a request or we're looking for a song to play. We can just type it into a computer and bring it up. And so thanks for helping out with that. That's awesome, but you really are into politics and community issues, it seems like, and yeah.
Yeah, we are living in very interesting times. there are a lot of news stories that are national stories that don't necessarily seem to affect Hawaii, but in a way they do. So I'd like to cover certain stories that may not on the surface directly affect us, but in a way they do.
Mm-hmm.
We got some big breaking news today out of Tennessee. There was a shooting. There were four Marines killed. The shooter killed as well.
Today? That happened today?
That happened today in, let's see, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Whoa.
And, yeah, we also got some local news as well. Public is divided on the barking law. That is from thegardenisland.com. The ordinance may be repealed. The public is pretty sharply divided upon that. If you guys have any opinions on that, feel free to give us a call at 826-7771.
Yeah, the phone lines are open here for the next hour and 45 minutes. It's all about community participation with this radio program. And we open up the phone lines for your... Even if you don't want to talk about the subjects we're talking about, you can call in if you have something to announce, some sort of information about something happening or just want to get something off your chest. It's totally your program. This is your community radio, and this is out of the box, so anything goes pretty much. The phone lines are to reach us is 826-7771. We also have a toll-free number, 866-275-1112. And what's this barking thing, Dan, you're talking about?
Well, the county council approved a barking dog ordinance, a noise ordinance, and there's a lot of debate between dog owners and neighbors. And there's a possibility that they may repeal the ordinance that was passed in 2014. People are pretty sharply divided on that issue. A lot of local folks say that it's part of the culture. A lot of these are hunting dogs, and a lot of the people complaining are allegedly, from what we read in the paper, from off-island. And the argument on the local side is that it's a cultural thing, and folks that are moving here are trying to impede the local hunting culture. Another big story is Sandy G, the woman who was found dead in her car. There was an arrest made, and it's been quite a while, but it looks like the murder trial is set for 2016. The event happened in 2006. Darren Gallus, 43, of Kalaheo, was charged with second-degree murder. You folks have probably seen the stickers. Remember Sandy G, Justice for Sandy G. So that is a very controversial issue due to the fact that he's been out on bail.
Yeah, I saw him something in town for a golf tournament. Remember Sandy G golf tournament? Or so there's a lot of focus right now on this. And so they're actually, it's set to go to trial next year?
Yep, starting in 2016.
Wow.
Also, we have Jade Helm, the military operation, Mastering the Human Domain. That's kicked off. There are three states that are listed as hostile territory. It's a military drill. There's a lot of controversy. A lot of folks are saying that it's an imminent takeover. They're coming to take the guns. The folks that are running this operation are simply saying it is just an operation, a practice, if you will, so that the military can be accustomed to different settings. Three states are listed as hostile, Texas, Utah, and California, I believe. That kicked off 2 days ago, and a lot of conspiracy theories out there. I personally think it may just be a conditioning operation. We do have Posse Comitatus that does not allow U.S. military to operate on U.S. soil. However, we are seeing that change. They say it's being done on private land, but people are... they started a group called Monitor Jade Helm, so that's a big story. A lot of people in Texas are worried because three states are listed as hostile, and it's kind of odd to have a military operation. Military bases have... they have towns that are set up to, you know, if it's a Middle East setting, they have Middle Eastern looking towns to train in. So they do have bases where they train regularly. So it's interesting for them to take the training off base, and that has a lot of people concerned. So if any of you folks have any questions or concerns or comments, feel free to give us a call about that issue as well.
826-7771. We're waiting for your call. Call in, chime in. This is your radio program, and the phone lines are open.
And it's interesting that the subtitle is called Mastering the Human Domain. We do live in a technocracy. A technocracy is basically a technological society run by the elite. We do see there's a great article out by about Google, how Google distorts your view of reality. And there's also another pretty interesting story about how smartphones can accurately detect depression. So it's interesting. A lot of folks have differing opinions. Technology can either empower us or it can dumb us down. What do you folks think? We do have a caller. So we're living in very interesting times, and do we have a caller, Dove?
We do. I always pick up the phone and ask them if they want to go on the air or not. Sometimes they don't. You're welcome to call in and actually just tell me something or ask me a question. I'll put it on the radio. You don't have to call and go on the air, but I'll give you that option. This caller does want to go on the air, so let's see what they have to say. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it? How you guys doing? Thank you for giving me this opportunity. My name is Raymond Catania, and I'm talking about the fight for $15. $15 is a living wage, no lower than that.
All right.
And there is a group of us that are going to be sign-holding at some of the key shopping centers around the island this coming Saturday, putting information out there how working people, we deserve no less than $15 an hour, because we've got thousands of people in Hawaii and millions across the U.S. that are struggling to survive. So I think you understand that. We're going to be sign-holding across Ishihara Market on Saturday at 10:15, 11:45. We're going to be in front of Kukui Grove. At 12:30, we're going to be in front of Walmart, which is one of the most notorious businesses for ripping workers off and firing them when you open their mouth and speaking up. And then we're going to be holding signs in front of Safeway, and we're going to be raising the issue of income inequality. We've been already getting the word out in some of our blue-collar communities and passing the flyer out. So there'll be a group of us, a small group, but we'd like people to join us and be part of this this drive. We're also working on a resolution right now at the county council to bring this up. 3 points in particular. One, the living wage. Two, what do you call that now? Sick leave. You know, how all workers deserve sick leave, you know, time off, that if they're sick, they can stay home if they earn enough hours, because the sick, they can't come to work. It was brought up at the legislature this past session, but it didn't pass. And the other one, the third point, is the right to organize. We do have the right to organize unions and speak up on the job, but presently when workers begin to do that, they get fired. Yeah. And so we're going to be raising these kinds of issues, and my phone number is 631-6748. If somebody wants to get involved, wants to talk about this issue, they can call me, Raymond, at 631-6748. And I'm glad you gave me this opportunity to call in and make this announcement.
Hey, thank you for calling in. I do have a question for you.
I read
a while back about Walmart not paying their workers on Kauai. I believe there was a lawsuit.
Yeah.
But how do you feel this would affect small businesses like your mom and pop store that are already struggling? Is this bill going to target, this legislation going to target corporations that can afford it, or is it going to also negatively affect?
Well, we're going to be targeting corporations that afford it, especially like Walmart and Kmart and, you know, all the bigger ones, Starbucks and Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's. And the smaller ones, like, for example, there's more time for them to acclimate to the $15 an hour thing, because in Seattle and in Los Angeles where it passed, they have an extra year or so to adjust. But yet at the same time, I know a lot of people that work for small businesses. They get paid really badly, and they have no benefits. And this has been going on for years. Yeah, like my own kids and my own nephews and nieces have worked for a lot of these small firms on Kauai, and they've been given no raises at all. They have no medical, no nothing, and they've been working there for years. So there's got to be some justice from some of these businesses as well. You know, but if these businesses are really struggling, they can prove to us, you know, that they're going to go out, okay, but yet at the same time, there's a lot of big corporations like Walmart that can pay, you know. And
what is the minimum wage right now?
Right now, the minimum wage is $7.75. It'll go up to $10.10 an hour by 2018. And I was part of that movement to fight for that. Governor Ige really fought us. He didn't want us to get to $10 or even to $10.10. You know,
wow.
He wanted it to stay about $9.25, $9.50. But what happened was there was enough pressure from the community to push it to $10.10 an hour. So, you know, Governor Ige is not as great as he says he is for working people. But the thing is that some of these small businesses have got to start coming up with more money for their workers. You know, keeping people stuck at $7.25, now $7.75, is pretty bad. Like, in some of these small businesses, like my kids have worked in, they'll make them managers, you know. And by making them managers, then they work long hours without getting overtime, you know. Yeah, and then, like, you know, they'll have a break in between, so they get less than 20 hours. And then they'll come back a few days later and get another 20 hours or maybe even less. And they don't have medical benefits.
Wow.
They don't have sick leave. They don't have vacation, none of these kinds of things. But especially sick leave, you know, they need stuff like that. Especially, for example, if they get sick, they got to stay home and rest, in particular if they work at restaurants and places like that.
Right.
So we got to start raising these issues. And I think the cost of living and, you know, income inequality is the biggest issue for most people today.
Mm.
And we got to begin to raise it, you know. And so there's a lot of important issues out there. You know, like, for example, food sovereignty and Mauna Kea and, you know, 2491. And I'm part of all those kinds of things. But yet at the same time, we've got to start speaking out for the workers, you know, especially those on the lower end.
Absolutely.
A lot of whom are women and people of color. And what's happened is that in the middle of April of this year, there were demonstrations across the U.S. continent, the Fight for 15. And right after that, Walmart closed five of its most militant stores. These stores, like at Pico Rivera in California, were pretty militant in raising the demands of workers for unionization and for living wages. And so they closed down five stores, and they said, because they have plumbing problems, and all at the same time. What a coincidence. And so Walmart has agreed to raise its minimum to $9 this year and $10 by February of next year, but it's still nothing. And the only reason why they raised it was because of the mass discontent that's been going on.
Another interesting point is there have been folks that have looked in. There's a lot of conspiracy going on about the Jade Helm coinciding with the Walmart closings. And so some folks did some digging, and it turns out no contracts were taken with any plumbing companies to take care of the alleged plumbing issues. So that is another interesting fact.
I don't subscribe to any of the conspiracy theories. You know, I mean, I'm not really going through any of that. You know, I'm just dealing with the basic stuff from what I can see.
Do you feel that the rise of the, because I agree, income inequality is a big big issue. When they raise the price, when they raise the wage, do you feel they're going to pass the price on to the consumer? So
historically, they always do that.
So how will that affect folks?
Well, you know, the thing is that the working people will have more money, you know. And if we have more money, we can put more money into the economy, especially those at the bottom. You know, they're using that stuff for food, you know, to pay bills, for medical bills and stuff like that. The stuff goes right back in. So it's not going to be money for playtime, you know. So like my kids and my relatives, my nieces and nephews and their friends, they'll be able to have more money so they can pay for living expenses, you know. And so we got to have this kind of stuff going back into the economy. People got more money, they're going to spend more, you know.
Right on. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, you know what? And you said you're a local boy born and raised here, what, in Callahill?
Actually born on Welly Welly Track, but raised in Callahill.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would really appreciate if you came out and you held signs with us, Rod, because you sound like you're pretty interested in what's going on in the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how old are you, by the way?
29.
Okay, you're a young blood. We need young bloods out there willing to raise these kinds of issues. Okay, brother? And, oh, yeah, well, I'd like to say one more thing, that this is not a racial issue. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, if you're local, you're a Haole, it doesn't matter if you're gay or lesbian or straight, it doesn't matter if you're Micronesian or Filipino or Hawaiian, this issue affects everybody. You know, it's not a West Side issue or a North Side issue. This is an issue for working people, especially those on the bottom.
Right
okay?
on. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is a colorblind issue. So thanks for giving me the
Great.
Time, all right?
Thank you so much for the call.
Okay, mahalo.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, I just wanted to thank Brother Raymond for calling in, man. This guy from the heart, and he's got a lot of good stuff to say. But one point he missed is Hawaii is an at-will employer state. That means that for any reason at all, if you bring up something that they don't want or, you know, whatever, they can fire you for any reason. Whether you've worked there 5 years, 10 years, the problem too is it's a plantation. You know, all these laws and legislation that was set up back in plantation days. We've got nice songs and stuff about those days, but tell you the truth, they probably did take better care because they provided housing for them at least. You know. So whatever money they had, they could, you know, feed themselves and stuff. But Raymond's, he's on the right track, man. He's on the right track. And I appreciate him calling in, and I hope everybody gets out there and supports him, you know. I'll go hold sign.
Yeah, could you remind the listeners exactly what day the next one begins?
I don't know. I tried texting him, and it came back text. So I'll have to get his number back.
Okay.
You know.
Right on. Well, thanks for calling, and I think Raymond's going to be calling in back here, or I think he just did, to respond.
Yeah. We need to, you know, because someone's got to step up. I mean, there's a lot of people really hurting.
Great.
And someone's got to step up, man.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I want to thank that guy for calling up and for raising the thing about the at-will. And I forgot to mention that, but we do have a flyer, like, for example, that we've been passing out door-to-door in Puhi, which is a pretty blue-collar neighborhood. We've covered that whole community. And in our flyer, we talk about Hawaii being an at-will state. And because Hawaii is an at-will state, that means that workers can get fired for any reason at all if they don't have a union organization to back them up. Now, he mentioned about the plantation days. Well, what happened was that supposedly during the plantation days, that's when the unions organized. And any place in Hawaii that has a union has protections against getting fired. You can speak up. I used to be a member of the United Public Workers, Hawaii Government Employees Association, Printing Pressmen's Union, and Graphic Arts International Union. And I've been in, union shops pretty much my whole life. And whenever I spoke up, I couldn't get fired because I had union protection. Now, if we don't have union protection, people, you know, an organization backing us up, and even going to court if we have to, we have lawyers that would back us up, then we can get fired. So I'm glad he brought up the thing about being an at-will state, because most jobs in Hawaii and in America are at-will jobs. They don't have any protection. But if workers have organization, they have unions for them, backing them up, you just can't get fired.
And this,
so thank you. Yeah, yeah.
This legislation, and, are you trying to get a bill passed? Does it?
Well,
does
we're
it,
trying to. We'd like to get a bill passed on 15, and also relating to sick leave, because a lot of people need sick leave. But what we want to do with our resolution is not a bill, because it's got to be statewide, not just in the county. Is that what we want to mention is that it is legal to organize a union. It is legal for workers to speak up, but they get fired anyway here in Hawaii. So we have to strengthen that law, and we have to back it up, and we have to have politicians stand on the side of workers so that when the employers try to lay us off, if we speak up on the job, they can't do it.
And did Governor Ige give any reasoning behind his decision?
Now, Governor Ige, I don't know how he chimed in on the sick leave thing, but what happened was that it lost at the legislature. You know, we didn't have enough of those guys backing it up, you know, when it was proposed by the AFL-CIO, that's the American Federation of Labor, Congress of Industrial Organizations, when it was raised primarily by them through Randy Pereira, who's the president of that labor federation, it didn't pass. But it's going to take a while, and we're going to probably get there.
And
you know?
Seattle's the only state that has actively done anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Seattle and Los Angeles. Seattle and Los Angeles has actually done stuff. First, it started in Seattle. They have a socialist mayor, okay? And what happened in now, it just passed in Los Angeles a few months back, you know? People are beginning to recognize that socialism is not a bad thing. Workers' rights are not a bad thing. Unions are not a bad thing. And the individual that called in about at-will is very, very right, and I'm glad you brought that up. And if he wants to give me a call, he can call me at 631-6748. And I'd love to have him this weekend come hold signs with us and pass out flyers in his community and to his friends and family as well. You know? So thank you for giving me the chance again. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for calling. I did just someone just called and asked for your number. Why don't you give that out one more time?
Oh, yeah, sure. 631-6748. 631-6748. And if I don't call right away, leave me a message and I'll try to get back to you. Give me a number and then I'll get back to you. Okay?
Right on. Great. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right, love. All right, the phone lines are open, 826-7771. This is your radio program. We are completely going any direction you'd like. If there's anything you want to get off your chest, any topic, or you have something to announce, this is a great time to do it. This is your community radio station. We have a new volunteer in here helping out with the show today, Dan O'Flattery.
You got it.
Dan O'Flattery. he's born and raised in Kalaheo, which is interesting. And cool to have you here. Thanks for helping volunteer, and you're up to date on all these amazing local issues and national issues. Is there anything else you wanted to mention? Or?
No. Well, you know, I'm always up to date on the news, and after every shooting, it's come out that out of the last 10 or 12 mass shootings, the shooters were all on psychotropic drugs. So, of course, we're going to hear the talking heads calling for stricter gun control. Hawaii's got one of the most, we're one of the most strict states as far as gun control, but we have a very low gun crime rate. The other four cities, like New York and Chicago, I can't think of the other two off the top of my head, have some of the highest gun crime rates in the nation. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, gun control works in Hawaii. One of the factors they don't tend to think about is the fact that the gun crime rate in those cities are committed by gang members, and we really don't have a large, we're not a border state, we don't have a large population of gang members. So we're going to start hearing calls for more gun control. And if you guys have any thoughts on that issue, I know we have a lot of hunters here in Hawaii, and if you want to call in on that, it's interesting, the murder rate has gone down as the concealed carry and gun permits have shot up. Ever since the Sandy Hook shooting, applications for gun permits have skyrocketed, and gun crime has dropped about 25%, according to the Crime Prevention Research Center. This is out of the Washington Times. So it's an interesting correlation. It's more guns, less crime. More legal guns in the hands of responsible owners.
We have a caller. Hello, a caller. You on the air?
Okay, I got a question. Since we have all new trash cans, I'd like to know how we're supposed to recycle the 20 to 40,000 plastic trash cans that are now you can't use.
So I've heard you can use them as planters, but we don't know what to do with the bottom of them. Is that the
Well, if you cut them, you can use the bottom as a planter, and what's going to happen to the top? And as far as recycling, my question is, yeah, we're supposed to recycle more because of these county-sponsored trash cans, but what's going to happen to the rest of all the plastic from the trash cans? That's my question.
That's a very interesting question. If anybody anybody out there has the answer, feel free to give us a call at 826-7771. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, aloha. I would like to bring up of medical marijuana.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if any of you had seen Sanjay Gupta's latest show called Weeds, Part 3, or just Weed, Part 3.
I have not seen that.
Well, it was very exciting. Sanjay Gupta had some shows out on CNN, which was really exciting to see. The first two programs are about how the medical marijuana is anti-seizure and is used actually in children to heal them from seizures because the medicine wouldn't work. And it's kind of an interesting thing. But the last show is about how it is a neuroprotector. It is actually a brain protector. You know, and I've known this for years because I've studied up on medical marijuana due to my own health issues, which most people don't even look into it until they have health issues, you know, and then they realize, oh, it's medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because our culture has demonized it so incredibly much. It's like, no, I'm not a drug addict. I'm the farthest thing from a drug addict, you know. I wouldn't even take drugs of any kind, you know, for any reason. It's like, but medical marijuana, yes, I would. I mean, it's safer than smoking cigarettes. And people are like, you don't want to tell children that and everything. I'm like, well, yeah, you do. You want them to know the truth. It's non-addictive. And it is not at all harmful for the body in any way. And that's like proven fact. And what was interesting is that it really helps post-traumatic stress disorder in like people that are returning from war because it helps them forget, which is an important thing to be able to do. Like if you have these horrible nightmares, and it'll help you forget your nightmares, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And then another place that it really helped as far as the neuroprotector was in people with traumatic brain injury, like all these football players that are constantly bashing their heads in, or boxer guys who are constantly beating their brains out of each other and damaging their brains. Well, there's hope for them. The medical marijuana is a neuroprotector. And what's interesting is Sanjay Gupta is a doctor, and he has many doctors on his program documenting these facts. And the most exciting to me personally was the Alzheimer's one. And some of it, see, marijuana has many constituents in it, not just THC, which gets you high, but many other things that do many other things, one being anti-inflammatory, you know. But it's anti-Alzheimer's, because but the THC part is what helps keep you from getting the Alzheimer's. So they had patients taking the smoking pot to help their Alzheimer's disease, because there's this stuff called dendroid plaque, which, you know, is deposited in your brain. And marijuana is a fat-loving substance, and your brain is made out of fat, and it crosses in through the blood-brain barrier and goes in, and it protects your brain from getting the dendrite plaque.
Well, part of the reason you said it's the culture that demonizes marijuana,
yeah,
and I believe it's the pharmaceutical industry that has started that misconception. And it's funny, if you smoke pot, you're viewed as a drug addict, but if you take a pharmaceutical that's far more dangerous and damaging and addictive, you are doing something perfectly acceptable in society's eyes. So it's interesting that we have a federal government. I'm a strong believer in states' rights. We have a federal government. The Obama administration said he would stop raiding marijuana dispensaries, and he has raided, under his administration, has raided and shut down more pot shops than George Bush ever did. Defending George Bush at all.
More pot shops now than were then.
That's true. So it's just it's part of a culture of getting people hooked on pills, you know, and there are kids as young as 4 or 5 taking Ritalin and all these other powerful psychotropics. So I agree with you that marijuana is a very effective tool. There's also, you know, if you don't want to inhale the smoke, there's something called Dramanol or Marinol, which is a THC-based tablet.
I wouldn't want to go trying any of the pharmaceutical type marijuanas, but like you could use a vaporizer if you didn't want to smoke it, you know. You know, you could eat it as well. You know, people can eat pot.
Are you on Kauai?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's one of the issues here on this island is we don't really have a dispensary yet.
Not yet. But, I mean, what I want to see is I just want to see people get educated. That's why I'm calling this program, because, I mean, I thought it was out on CNN. I'm like, oh, everybody must have seen this, you know. And then I talked to everybody, and nobody saw it. All they saw was the one at Breckenridge where people are forking in $40,000 a day and, you know, making money on their new marijuana dispensary.
All right.
Yeah, and that's the only one they saw. They didn't see this one about the, you know, the health properties of it. And I was like, well, you know, the religious leaders have a lot of clout. If I could just, like, get an appointment with, you know, the head of the Jehovah Witness guy here and show him Weeds Part 3 and educate him a little bit, you know, show him some of the facts, because these are scientific facts by doctors, you know, so that they could, you know, because people are such sheeple, whatever the preacher says, they'll believe, you know. And so you could help educate them with the truth, and people won't keep doing these harmful pharmaceutical drugs and demonizing innocent health nuts that are, you know, taking care of themselves with medical marijuana, you know?
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
All right. We have another caller coming in. Let's just put them right on there. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for being on air. I just wanted to make a comment. I know you were talking about the gun control issue and some statistics that were promising there. And if you look up a city in Georgia called Kennesaw, K-E-N-N-E-S-A-W, about 27 years ago, they made a mandatory carry law if you live in that township. And their crime rate dropped to zero. Violent crime, robberies, and anything with a gun, and also murders dropped to zero. And that's, they've been leading the statistics in the country for 25 years. You should look at it.
It's absolutely true. More guns equal less crime. According to the statistics, the FBI's own numbers, it's interesting that active shooters always target gun-free zones, and what most people don't know is military bases tend to be gun-free zones. If you remember the Fort Hood shooting, Major Hassan was able to kill many people, and today this event happened at another gun-free zone. So a lot of people don't like the idea of, you know, guns in schools, but I remember at Kauai High we had a, you know, Officer Applegate, so I think it's a good idea to entertain the idea of having of eliminating gun-free zones. The Charleston church shooting, had somebody been concealed carrying, he may have been able to take out the shooter. And
hey, you know something else too? It just happens to be written about in our Constitution that says that our gun rights should not be infringed. And I don't know what people consider infringement, but, you know, the country that we live in was forged with weapons, unfortunately. And to protect themselves or, you know, to eat. So I think it's kind of ridiculous to take away your forks and knives if you want to eat food, you know. So a gun is just as important as those tools to eat.
And a gun is also an inanimate object. It's the person who is in control of the gun that can be the problem, that is the problem. So people that tend to blame the weapon as opposed to the person who may be mentally disturbed are kind of missing a very important point. You know, if you look at England, where they do not allow gun ownership, they actually have four times the violent crime rate we do. They just use knives, bats, rocks.
Well, they're trying to outlaw knives now over in England. So you can see how ridiculous the steps are going to be. And when you travel in the wrong direction, it causes high cost and danger to the citizen. And so I think we should stand up for our Constitution and the rights that these men gave their lives for.
Absolutely. At a town hall, the assistant police chief, Roy Asher, actually said he would be in support of concealed carry or open carry in the state of Hawaii. So that was very interesting. Daryl Perry, the chief of police, as you know, does not issue concealed carry permits. He's issued about three in the last 4 years.
Well, you know, another thing in the Constitution is the ability for our star people to organize a regulated militia. And because if we are attacked by a foreign entity, then we become the militia. And I don't know, you know, that's part of being a citizen, is that right? So I think people should really embrace it and get educated, because right now the world is trying to uneducate you or misdirect educate you. And they call good education education neglect. So be aware, people. That's your right.
Thanks so much for your call.
Aloha.
All right, aloha. Aloha, caller. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, my questions have to also do with gun registration, et cetera, et cetera. And I can remember back in my youth, not that I'm extremely old, but, you know, I've gone to gun shows and bought weapons without proof of anything other than the cash in my pocket. And I think circa in the 80s, gun registration became a predominant theme. And not only that, even though it's federal law for convicted felons, quote unquote, even if it's a nonviolent crime, to even own a weapon in relation to a gun or a rifle. And it's kind of like, is there documentation which would provide information on the history of what we're involved with now, and that you may be knowledgeable of, which can give an overview on the historical, you know, how this happened, where we're at today. Because it's kind of like, if I live with lions, tigers, and bears, and I live in, you know, somewhere where having a weapon would be beneficial, I'd like to have that weapon, and I would be prohibited in such doing because of the laws that are in process right now. Did I make myself hopefully clear?
Yeah, I think you did. I mean, there's a long history of the populace being slowly but surely disarmed in places where it basically allows the government to have free reign. Now, a lot of folks say, you know, we need guns to protect from an out-of-control government. These days, with the drones and all that technology, I don't know how valid that argument is, but there's been a steady move since the 40s. Hitler disarmed the population. Fidel Castro disarmed the population. England has disarmed the population. Australia has done the same. And we're slowly but surely moving towards that here, because what they're going to do is, if you've ever seen a psychologist in the future, when they say we want to do stricter, more in-depth background checks, for instance, if you're a medical marijuana patient in Hawaii, you are prohibited from owning a firearm. So there are a lot of Vietnam vets or veterans in general that use medical marijuana that are actually not allowed to own a firearm. So it's just a way to control the population, and it's been going on for quite a while. Hawaii is one of the strictest, most stringent places to own a handgun. You have to go through a hunter safety course and background check. And I'm in support of background checks. If you're a violent offender, let's be sensible. But as far as not allowing a marijuana smoker to own a firearm, that's absurd.
Yeah, using myself as an example, historically, I've been in, for example, mountain lion country in the Sierras, and I've come across a mountain lion. Not that I had to use it, but I'm darn glad that I had a weapon at my disposal if need be.
Yeah, there's a big misconception out there that gun owners are these people that are gung-ho about shooting their weapons or using them. The truth is, most of them have them in a gun case. They're there in case of a break-in or, you know, a robbery.
Yeah.
Women, the concealed carry permit for women's, or the application for women to concealed carry, has skyrocketed due to, rapists out there. So I encourage a lot of people to look into the statistics. And these are FBI statistics. These are not too skewed, I hope.
So, again, though, to interrupt you, any documentation that you know that has discourse with what we're talking about right now?
Not necessarily, no.
Not necessarily, I didn't think so. But I can do research.
Yeah, okay. I mean, a basic one would just be to hunt and provide. Let's say we live on an island. Let's say the barges stop coming in.
Yeah.
We're not very self-sustainable. We have lots of ag land. We don't produce a lot of our own food. It's all GMO. So there's one right there, you know, to be able to provide for your family, to protect your family, and those are two very valid reasons.
Okay, I thank you, and I hope your conversation with me was worth your time.
Okay? Absolutely, thanks for calling.
Oh, we really appreciate you calling in. This is your community radio station, so thanks for being a part of it.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha. And real quick, we just have an announcement about the rodeo coming up.
Kaloa Plantation Day's 10-day celebration begins with rodeos, barbecues, and music in the country. The 16th annual Kaloa Plantation Rodeo Weekend at CJM Country Stables in Poipu kicks off with qualifiers on Friday, July 17th, followed by two full days of rodeo competitions, including bull riding, team roping, puʻuvāyu, and the rawhide race, to name a few. Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m., local food booths including Paniola Barbecue, Paradise Grinds, and Shave Ice, with music by Not My First Rodeo, on Saturday at 4 p.m. More information at 742-6096 or online at KaloaPlantationDays.com.
All right, Kaloa Plantation Days coming up. And mahalo to them for announcing their event through our station. If you have events that you would like to get out over the air, you can always call us here in the office, 826-7771. We also have an email. You can email the information about your event or any community calendar to GM@KKCR.org. That's a direct, or KKCR@KKCR.org. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha, Dove. Aloha, Dan. This is Jerry from GMO Free Kauai and Hawaii Seas.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Great show today, guys. Thanks for holding down the fort on Thursday afternoon today.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, I wanted to let everybody know we have a really great event coming up for Kauai, actually 3 nights in a row, regarding glyphosate, the industrial name for Roundup herbicide. And we're going to have two wonderful speakers, Dr. Stephanie Seneff and Dr. Judy Carman. And they're going to be coming actually island-wide, statewide and island-wide here on Kauai. We'll be having three events, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the last week in July. And we're going to be Tuesday, July 28th, out in Waimea at the Waimea Canyon Middle School, starting at 6:30 p.m. And the next night, we're going to be up on the North Shore at Church of the Pacific at 7 p.m. And Thursday, we'll be at the Kauai Community College Performing Arts Center at 7 p.m. All of our events are free. And these ladies are going to be bringing the most up-to-date information about glyphosate. I'm sure most of the listeners have probably heard, you know, how even with GMO-free Kauai, you know, as we learned through Bill 2491 about all of these restricted use pesticides, Roundup, glyphosate, it's been kind of getting a pass, you know, even at the EPA level. And now research is showing that it is truly dangerous and is one of the, I think it is the most widely spread, widely sprayed herbicides in the United States. So I invite everybody to come. We got posters up. We'll be calling in again and reminding folks of the date, but it's that last week in July. And I really encourage everybody to come out and hear Dr. Stephanie Seneff and Dr. Judy Carman.
Hey, thank you very much. Did you hear the news? It just broke today. It's scary news. House Republicans are fast-tracking a bill through Congress to block GMO labeling. That is broken within the past 8 hours. So House Republicans are trying to fast-track a bill that would not allow GMO labeling. And I saw a funny meme on the Internet. GMO companies claim it costs too much money to label GMOs, and then it showed a photo of the Coca-Cola where it has everybody's name on it. So it's
right.
A pretty funny photo, but it's sad that our politicians do not want the consumers to be able to be informed about what they are putting into their bodies. So that
Dan, you really hit the nail on the head. You know, they're changing labeling left and right. You know, every time a toy changes in your cereal package, the labeling changes, you know, and then they pull out that excuse, oh, this is going to be so costly, you know. Yeah, it's really frightening, this federal laws that they're trying to pass and really fast-track pass, like you said, would stop states and counties from any type of home rule regarding GMOs, whether it be labeling, damages, liability, even drift and pesticide spraying. This federal law, it's really hard to think what this would mean. It seems to be going through so fast. They've been trying this for years, and I think right now the big push is to get it passed before we can get back to the state ledge in January. So right now I think online I'm seeing, you know, contact our reps, Tulsi Gabbard especially, and let her know that we do not want this passed. And so, we expect her to stand up for us.
So real quick before we do the top of the hour, could you tell us when your three events are happening one more time? They're free, and where are they again, and the dates?
Yeah, great. Thanks. Tuesday, July 28th at the Waimea Canyon Middle School at 6:30 p.m., Wednesday, July 29th at Church of the Pacific in Princeville at 7 p.m., and Thursday, July 30th in Lihue at Kauai Community College Performing Arts Center at 7 p.m. At KCC, we're going to also have Dr. Lauren Pang giving us an update on the Maui progress there. And if anybody wants more information, give us a call at GMO Free Kauai at 651-9603. That's
651-9603. Great. And I hope you call the station and call the talk shows next week also to keep us informed, since it's not next week but the week after. So keep us informed. Keep spreading the information to us. So I appreciate it.
Will do. We appreciate you guys, too. Aloha.
All right. Thanks for the call. Aloha.
Mahalo.
And I'd like to tell you that you're listening to...
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Oh, it's so nice to have that on a button there. That's Dean Rogers, our amazing manager and slash engineer, and doing our legal ID. We're coming at you also on the internet at kkcr.org. We got over 30 people on there from all over the planet. I also have to tell you that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to the mama Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, and this is Dove here, helping out engineering out of the box, filling in for Jimmy and or Jonathan. They rotate back and forth, and neither of them could be here today. And we have a brand new volunteer slash talk show host. I won't call you a host yet. You're just getting going here officially. And his name is Dan O'Flaherty. O'Flaherty. So O'Flaherty. Is that...
That's Irish.
Irish, yeah. Definitely Irish. Okay, and we have a caller here. Aloha, caller, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Aloha, aloha. Good conversation, you guys. Hey, we were talking about the gun control idea.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, of course, the hunting part of it is a real important part, that people have the right to be able to hunt for themselves and that sort of thing. But the militia, I mean, we can't own, what, rocket-propelled grenades or, you know, enough weapons to make ourselves a substantial militia, like you had mentioned earlier, to fight against drones and other very advanced forms of weaponry and, you know, who knows, gas or whatever. And I don't think they want to give us the rights to have all of that arsenal on our side, you know, like a tank. Could we have a tank or, you know, surface-to-air missiles or any of this stuff? Now, that would be valid. All of a sudden, we could put together a militia. But with our handguns and our rifles, we're... You know, that's not really a militia of any type that could form a decent battle against the modern military weapons. So there's some there, and it doesn't seem to be any give and take anywhere. It's either you should have, you know, rights to assault rifles and everything, or we should have no rights at all. So I don't think either one of them is probably right. I don't know if you saw the article, the editorial in the Garden Island a couple of days ago. Oh, weapons in there. They were talking about the murder rate worldwide. Did you read that article?
No, I didn't catch that. And could you define assault weapon? Are you referring to semi-automatic weapons, or is your definition an automatic weapon?
Well, it seems like a lot of the automatic weapons you can buy can be made into automatic weapons fairly easily.
Sure, and that's illegal.
So, either way, yeah. I mean, you think we should own semi-automatics but not fully automatic weapons? Is that what you...
Well, I really don't have a dog in this fight. I mean, automatic weapons are for warfare. I don't foresee any imminent takeover from the federal government or anything on that level.
A lot of people do, though.
A lot of people do. And I mean, if you look at the situation, the Bundy Ranch standoff with the Bureau of Land and Management, they actually won that little case. That was in Texas, I believe, and there was a big standoff with BLM and the Bundy Ranch, and the BLM stood down due to the amount of firepower on the other side. So you know, it's automatic weapons aren't necessarily needed in this society, but I'm not going to tell anybody what.
Well, then it voids our ability to form a valid militia as well, doesn't it?
In a way, but the way weapons are so advanced, they can just hit you from the sky with a drone. And a lot of people do believe, there are some folks out there that do believe the federal government's going to invade its own country with this Jade Helm. There's a lot of controversy. Personally, I believe it's just a conditioning to get people used to military on the street. We have a paramilitary police force, not necessarily on Kauai, but you're seeing police uniforms shift from being dark blue to camo. So it's just a slow acclimation, and I don't believe any militia would, if that were to, I don't believe it'll come to that, but if that were to happen, I do believe the U.S. military would most definitely come out victorious. So,
yeah. Okay, well, the other point that I wanted to make was in that article that I don't remember all of the details, but they were talking about the murder rate around the world and how much higher it is in America, where the percentage of guns per individual or per 100 is higher than anywhere else in the world. We have 6 or 7 children that are killed by guns daily. In New Zealand, where they're not allowed to, there isn't 6 or 7 children killed in the whole year with firearms. They were making some very interesting correlations, and if anybody else has that article or something, if they could call in, it really exemplifies kind of one of the reasons why arms, having them, are dangerous.
Yeah,
them being available. If he'd come home, if, you know, father's drunk and he leaves his gun out, or just having the guns in a home is a dangerous thing.
And you can pull up the same exact, I appreciate that point, you can pull up the same statistics about having a swimming pool in your yard as well. So, you know, it all comes down to the owner of the firearm and their responsibility. It's their responsibility to keep it locked up if they have children, people that are mentally disturbed around, but there are similar statistics to what you're referring to when it comes to having a swimming pool. It increases your chances of drowning significantly if you're under a certain age. So I do understand your point. I appreciate your call. And
if you could Google that article, it might be informative to you of what they're saying in there, because of the amount of murders in America is more than anywhere else in the world, and it correlates with the gun ownership as well, being more than anywhere else.
It correlates with the gang activity. Those are not, predominantly, those are not done by legal gun owners. Those are done by people who are part of affiliations like MS-13, the Bloods, the Crips. Those are drug wars. They're predominantly in big cities with very strict gun control laws. Chicago has like 40 murders a month. And they have the most stringent gun control laws. Those are not legal weapons. So it's just too...
Well, the availability of weapons becomes a lot more when they're legal.
No, that's because of the black market.
Then everybody can get them, you know.
That's because of the black market, though. You have to take that into consideration. But I will look into that article.
Well,
look it up,
because it's shocking, actually, that so few people are killed in other countries. You know, you're talking violence, but I didn't hear anybody talking murder. Murder is what the article is about.
Okay.
Death from the gun. So it is real interesting, and it's a valid other point to just letting everybody have their guns and you know, concealed weapons and stuff like that.
Great. Thanks so much for your call.
Okay, bye.
All right, aloha. Aloha, caller, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hi, thanks for having me. I think guns should be outlawed for the common man. I think our culture has been so militarized that it is terrifying, and I almost don't even want to live on an earth like that. I wouldn't live in Syria. I wouldn't want to live knowing that drones can bomb me anytime. Any of these other countries, they are suffering because of this militarization baloney. It is all so evil. It's true evil that's going on in our world. The militarization of the police force, it's disgusting to me. That is not the world that I imagined having. That's not the world that I want to live in. That's not the world that we should be conditioned to believe is okay, but we've all seen one too many violent movies that makes it okay. The solutions that are so obvious, like replacing the GMO crops with hemp to immediately clean the soils. I flew to Niihau day before yesterday, and I went to the west side, and it was so oppressed and so depressing, I could hardly stand it. And then when we flew across and I saw all those fields by the Robinsons, and then the helicopter like zoomed down to the dolphins, and like I felt like I was being the militarizing one, and I was like zooming down to all these animals and like flying around, and it was just, I don't know how to explain it, but
you do get this really kind of dark, daunting feeling when you drive through the west side. It's just so barren.
Yeah, and then they take the people from the Nihihau over to the west, to the plantations to work on the GMO crops and get poisoned so that they can become sterile. They can have prostate cancer. And all of the glyphosates, it dissolves the crustaceans, their cell, you know, those pokey things. It kills them. They dissolve.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of birds or wildlife out there either, I've noticed.
Well, I just wondered what you guys thought about hemp, because there's this stuff called hempcrete that you take from the inside stalk of the hemp and you mix it with lime, and it is bug resistant. The houses last 100 years. You want to make sustainable housing for poor people. You could make it out of hempcrete. Just grow some of hemp.
Well, unfortunately, that does not seem to be the goal of the people in charge at this point.
Well, there's another solution for if you want to build sustainable housing, is you can build it out of dirt. You could Google this on, I think it was I can't remember, but you just build these big bags with dirt. You dig a hole, take your dirt, fill it in the bags, and you build like an igloo out of dirt bags with lots of windows, and they stay cool and all that.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you very much for calling. We'll look into that.
And I wondered what you both, Dove and Tom?
Dan? Yeah,
Dan?
I mean, I was talking about growing hemp here in Hawaii. I started the garden show over 10 years ago.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I wondered what
with,
you guys,
with
if
Tracy.
I could go
and we used to
and hear about your views on hemp.
Yeah, we used to do, every few months, we used to do a whole show dedicated to hemp. I lived in the Northwest and actually went up to Canada and saw hemp being grown back in the early 90s, and so I'm very aware of what it can do for the planet, not only as food and fiber and stuff, but for seed oil, on and on and on, and it does help the soil here, and it would be an amazing crop for the islands, an amazing crop for the islands. We actually have
Is there any way to, like, flip the landowners, the people who lease their land to these GMO people to work, if there's someone who could, like, go to their house, bring their laptop, flip up, show them a couple shows, say, you know, it's only going to take 10 minutes, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's all changing. I know the legislation here is for it. I know Cynthia Thielen, she's been, you know, working on it for years, and there's a lot of people high up that I don't know right now exactly where it is with the legality of it, but it's changing quickly, and I have a feeling that we're going to be allowed to grow hemp here soon. We actually have a proposal for some people who want to do a program here once a month, all just dedicated about hemp on Mondays from 5
really?
To 6.
Oh, really? Very exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, so you'll be hearing a lot more through the community radio station about it, and it's a topic a lot of people, I think, here really support.
You know what I thought is so good, too, is the hemp seeds. If you grow the hemp seeds, you feed them to your pigs, and then in the off-season they go out and then they can nibble the nubs of the crops out, you know?
Right, it's true.
So that, there's this one person who does that. That's all they live on, and a few scraps.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, it has so many great benefits and everything. Thanks so much for your call.
You're very welcome. And I also want to hear what is this, Dove?
Yes.
Oh, then Dan's view on hemp.
Oh, I believe it's very unfortunate that we do not use it as it's supposed to be used, as it was used before marijuana was prohibited. I mean, we know we can make rope, and I mean, I could go on and on about the many uses of hemp. So I am in complete support, and I hope to see hemp grown here commercially.
Why not? Let's do it.
Also the other thing I wanted to say for the people on the west side is that do they know that the medical marijuana can actually cure cancer? It can kill cancer cells, and so can reishi mushrooms. You can take reishi mushrooms, they kill cancer cells.
Yeah, I actually saw an amazing program actually on PBS on regular mainstream TV about the proving how cannabis kills cancer cells, and they showed it under the microscope and actually how it does kill cancer cells. It is amazing. So yeah, everything's evolving, you know, as we go through You know, everyone's learning, and it's an information era right now. So the more we exchange information, the more we progress. I think.
And it takes the power of repeat. You have to remember that.
Mm, mm-hmm.
I'm sure you, especially since you've known so long.
Yeah, right. Right. It's true.
All right.
Right. Thanks so much for your call.
Okay, aloha.
Right, aloha, caller. You're on there. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, hi. Second time around during your program. A previous caller mentioned weapons technology and the militia and what who has and what we don't have. There's such an animal better known, and it's been around for quite a while. And it doesn't have to be violent. It can also be done through education. It's called guerrilla warfare. And even though one using the educational methods to it may be charged with the crime of sedition, I just wanted to throw that out there as, you know, hello. We may not be able to take down a drone but in immediately, but in a long way about, there are ways that they can be confronted.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. There was a famous general, I believe it was a Japanese general, around World War II, said the reason he didn't invade the U.S. soil was because there would be a gun behind every blade of grass.
Okay.
So,
I just wanted to throw that out there just for food for thought.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks for your input. We really appreciate it.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
All right, phone lines have been busy. Thanks for all the calls so far. We have about 43 minutes left of this program. This is Out of the Box here at your community radio station. And real quick, here's some information about the Tahitian Festival coming up.
Heiva is a celebration of Tahitian culture. The 14th annual Heiva I Kauai Yorana Tahiti will be held at Kapa'a Beach Park on August 1st and 2nd. Gates open at 9 a.m., opening ceremony at 9:30. 2 days of dance and drumming competitions with Polynesian artists, cultural demonstrations, jewelry and accessories direct from Tahiti, silent auction and island foods. A special guest Tahitian dance group from Honolulu, Te Vai Ura Nui, will present traditional Otea and modern Aparima and Ahupurotu dances, sponsored by HTA, County of Kauai and Geico. 822-9447 or heivaikauai.com.
All right, and we do have another caller. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Aloha, guys. It's Aurelius. How you doing today?
All right. Thanks for calling.
Cool. Yeah, amazing conversation. There's so much I'd love to add. But my main thing is what our new friend Danny Flaherty said at the beginning of the show is that in all of these major mass shootings, the shooter was on psychotropics. So what about more psychotropic control laws?
Well, we're never going to hear that mentioned on the mainstream news because, or any channel for that matter, because if you, personally, I don't own a television, but when I do happen to be around a television, I notice that that's half the sponsorship or more. So we need to have a conversation about psychotropic drugs. They are necessary for some people. They do work for some people, but the conversation shouldn't be about the firearm, the inanimate object, but the psychotropic drug that may be influencing the behavior that has caused these, 10 of the last 12 mass shootings. But that's something that is really hard to combat when they have so much influence, so much money, and so much control over the narrative.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you watch these news programs, and every other program is from a pharmaceutical company, and they always say, oh, by the way, side effects might include suicidal thoughts, erratic behavior, this, that. And I just wanted to bring it back into the fold. I know we're not going to see that conversation come up, you know, with Obama and his gun control conversation, but I think everyone listening should think about how, you know, the pharmaceutical push, yeah, some drugs are good, but the way they're forced down our throats, you know, it leads back to the marijuana issue, you know, how people can be high on Oxycontin, which is basically can be worse than heroin for some people. And that's just like, oh, I'm taking my medication. But, you know, I think big pharma is is just as much to blame, more to blame than certainly weed and legal responsible gun ownership put together.
And a lot of doctors, primary care physicians, tend to be prescribing these without without modifying the patient. These drugs, if necessary, need to be prescribed by a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or therapist. And there are a lot of doctors that will just go, here's some Zoloft, you know, this will make you feel better, and then there's no follow-up. I've personally had a conversation with a doctor who said this is a major problem where they just hand these things out like candy, and they don't monitor the patient. People have psychotic reactions. On the insert, it says may cause, psychotic behavior, may cause suicide. They're called suicide pills for a reason. So,
yeah,
very good points.
If you commit suicide, please call your physician immediately.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I don't want to take too much time, guys. You're doing a great job there. Aloha.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks for your call. Yeah, I was just real briefly, I was just thinking, we drive cars, and cars are radical, could be used as radical weapons. If you wanted to do something crazy with a car, you could do that and really hurt some people. But we drive cars every day, but we drive it on alcohol, and alcohol, they blame car crashes on alcohol day long, but they don't blame... Interesting, I don't know where I'm going with
exactly. I'm glad you brought that up, because they're moving towards the driverless car pretty soon. Humans are not going to be deemed responsible enough to handle the automobile.
Right, that's true.
It's being tested in California and Texas.
That's true. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
I want your listeners not to confuse the term psychotropics with psychedelics, which, depending on who you are, can be really wonderful and good for you. Just ask millions of people from the 60s, the generation, who are now like in their 60s and stuff, like me. But anyways, violence is always an unnecessarily sad epitaph of social... I don't know what you want to call it, but it's sad. It's sad. You even have to feel sad for these people that do these heinous crimes like mass murder and stuff like that, because even though it's really hard to pinpoint, what went wrong, like that guy who killed those black parishioners in the Bible study back east, where it led them to bring down the Confederate flag, which is a fantastic thing that they did. You got to feel sorry for that kid. Somehow he went wrong. A lot of it was peer pressure and the environment that he lived in, and you just go, aside from the psychotropics, the pharmaceutical, give them Zoloft, or Prozac, what you said, and I can't agree with you more, the bigger enemies, are racism, and basic, I hate to say testosterone. I got to be tough. I got to compete. It's a competitive world. Plus, I don't have a job. I have no money, and I don't have any fun. I don't have any creative outlet for all my energy. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go manic. Anyway, have a nice day.
Great, yeah. Thanks for your call. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about hemp.
Okay.
There's a company in Canada called Hemp Earth, and the guy who's, I guess, owner of the company is Derek Kesick, and he's building airplanes out of hemp, and he's going to fuel it with ethanol, hemp ethanol.
Uh-huh. So hemp
it's an
earth?
Article I found in High Times that tells you all about it, and there's a website you can go to. It's called hempearth.net.
Okay.
And you can find out what he's doing, but he's going to have these airplanes in the air running, all made out of hemp, in less than a year.
Wow.
And then, so I'm saying if Canada can do it, the U.S. can too.
A hemp airplane. How about that? It's so funny. I was just talking to someone recently about, how... about getting a license and having a little airplane to just...
He's building more than one. He's building
a whole fleet of them.
Wow. A huge amount of many airplanes.
Cool.
He's created a company that's going to make them.
Is there anything holding anybody in the U.S. back from doing such a thing?
Or?
Well, thanks so much for your call. It's a great information.
One more thing I wanted to tell you is that I recently came across a children's book at Dr. Baco's office. Some of you might know who he is, compassionate care doctor that advertises on this radio. Anyways, there's a children's book for educating your kids. You can buy it on Amazon, but I can't find my copy so to send to my grandchildren, but it tells you, it's a book that's to be read to kids on how safe marijuana is and what it is, and it's one of those, hey, I want to tell the kids to read this book so that they don't have to be listening to lies. They can just get the real story.
Oh, can you give us the name of that book?
I can't remember what it is. Oh. You'll have to look it up probably on Google or on the computer somehow.
All right. Well, thank
children's
you.
Book about marijuana.
Well, right. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks for the call. And we also just had a caller who said there's some amazing information about cannabis and psychedelics and all kinds of stuff at maps.org, M-A-P-S, maps.
Oh, yeah, maps.
At O-R-G, so I'm just putting that out there. You're right.
They also have a magazine you can subscribe to.
All right, cool.
Okay.
All right, thanks
have
for your call.
Have a great day. Thanks for your show. Uh-huh. You're doing great.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for all the calls. The phone lines are open, 826-7771. Anything you'd like to talk about, this is your community radio show, Out of the Box, and we open up the phone lines to you. So anything you want to talk about, get off your chest. We've got Dan in here. This is Dove, and we're kind of just winging it here, moving along, talking about whatever. We're going back and forth about all different topics, gun control to hemp to... someone was talking about the trash cans. He just called again and was wondering what they're going to do with all the plastic from the trash cans. So many issues going on.
Yeah, the big deal today is the ordinance about barking dogs.
Barking dogs ordinance.
Affordable housing is another big one. Just having moved myself, it's interesting. I moved yesterday, and it is definitely hard to find a place at a reasonable price.
Oof, that's for sure.
You find a house, and we got four barking dogs next door, so I'm actually pretty interested to see if they're going to repeal the ordinance.
So what was the ordinance? Ordinance is saying that barking dogs are, they're going to crack down on barking dogs?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've issued, I believe, 75 citations since the ordinance was passed in 2014. Mm-hmm. You can call the Humane Society for a noise complaint. The headline is Public Divided on Barking Dog Law. Owners and neighbors debate ordinance up for repeal. I guess they had a big meeting about it yesterday at the Kauai County Council. They do say that they have noticed a gradual decrease in noise since the ordinance was passed. Hunting, Farming, and Fishing Association board member Shyla Moon agreed with Kagawa that the ordinance creates problem between neighbors and spoke in favor of the repeal. So basically people are bickering amongst each other about not just the dog, but the ordinance. You know, you call and complain about your neighbor, and that obviously causes a little bit of strife in the neighborhood. Another quote from the article is, This is about mainlanders coming here that cannot accept our lifestyle. And that was from Forrest Callahan of Kalaheo. The ordinance was passed in 2014. The way it was written was that a dog owner may face fines ranging from $50 to $100 for the first violation. I'm sorry, $50 for the first violation, $100 for the second violation if it occurs within 90 days of the first. Subsequent violations can result in penalties that run from $200 to $500, and a judge can order other remedies such as obedience school for the animal. The Humane Society is responsible for the barking ban. Penny Sestaro, the head of the Kauai Humane Society, said the organization has gotten 75 complaints since the ordinance went into effect 2 years ago. And of those, 17 citations were issued. So it's interesting that they're going to repeal that.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, okay, barking dogs, blah, 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 blah. What's everybody going to do with 40,000 plastic trash cans? How do they get recycled? What's everybody supposed to do with them? Simple question. Not one person has responded to it, let alone the county.
Okay, so which trash cans are you speaking of? The big square ones that they're...
Well, of course. Everybody got a new one, right?
Right. So
everybody has at least one or two old plastic trash cans. And I don't know how many residents are there on Kauai, 25,000?
Right.
So we got what, like 40, 50,000 plastic trash cans, so we're going to make Mount Mana even higher.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
you know.
A simple question.
Right, okay.
Nobody's ever responded to it. Thank you.
All right. Aloha. All right. He's pretty set on the trash can thing. I have an old hot tub I'm trying to figure out what to do with in the yard, and you can't just go recycle an old plastic hot tub. It's big, and there's a YouTube video my dad just sent me on how you can cut it up into four pieces and recycle it that way. But, you know, what do we do with all our old stuff? I mean, we're such a consumer society. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, just regarding what to do with the old garbage can.
Yes, go ahead, please.
How about maybe just turn them around and use them for recycling themselves? So your plastics, your bottles, your cans, you know, turn them into recycling centers and then take them to the recycling center and put them to use instead of letting them go to, you know, they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, and Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Good job, my man.
What's up, Luther? I recognize your voice. That's a good solution. Another one I heard actually was cutting the bottom out and turning them into little places, to little planters, little plant boxes.
Yeah, there's plenty of uses. There's uses for lots of things, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just got to be creative.
Absolutely.
Okay, but thanks, Dan. Good show.
All right, Luther, have a good one, brother.
You know, being creative about what we want to do on this island, take it to the next level. I've been thinking a lot about that recently. You know, we a lot of times we're just talking about all the things that are, you know, we don't like. But where do we vision? What's our vision of the future of this island? I know hemp is a beautiful vision, but what do you visualize seeing happening next for our island?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, and aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I have some background noise.
Yeah, just turn down your radio and you'll be fine.
Well, yeah, the kids, I can't turn them down.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say we use our old trash can as a compost bin.
Oh, that's another very good idea.
Yeah, easy. Use it. I gotta go. This
all right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right, so the guy with the trash can thing, he's gaining some responses, huh? What'd she say, a compost bin?
Compost bin.
Cool, all right. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Aloha. So the key to the trash can business, as well as all of our other stuff, is being creative, is keeping our stuff in the recycle flow so that we don't add it to the landfill. So I use my old one at, you know, as right outside the kitchen door, I throw the bag of trash as it is full into the small one, and then I wheel it over to the big one at the end of the week and put it out on the road. So I don't have to bring that old one to the dump. It's a crappy old one, but who cares? You know, let's keep it in the working flow of recycling stuff rather than going, oh, shoot, it's a little old. You know, now we got the governmental big ones. Let's, you know, throw it away and add to our dumpster, as well as all of our other stuff. Stop buying new stuff. Keep using your old stuff. How much stuff do we need? There's an excellent video about stuff, and I don't know the name of it nor who wrote it, but we as a society have got to come back to keep it simple and don't
keep going to Walmart and Kmart and buying all these new big stuff because we've got mountains of stuff that we don't know what to deal with already. So let's keep using the stuff we have and be creative, and maybe we can be a little greener. You guys have a great day.
That's a great point. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate your input. So yeah, we've gotten a couple good calls on what to do with the old recyclable, or I'm sorry, with the old trash cans. I was unaware until last week when the this big semi trailer pulled up with about 200 or 300 of the new garbage cans. I was completely unaware that those were mandatory, but apparently it's coming out of our property tax. So, interesting stuff.
Someone just called and said that's it's called the story of stuff is what you're talking about, or what that woman was talking about, the story of stuff. I was thinking about stuff, George Carlin, his whole thing about stuff, but she says there's a one called the story of stuff. Anyway, and the George Carlin thing about stuff's pretty funny, too.
That was
anyway, the phone lines are open, 826-7771. We've got about 24 minutes left of Out of the Box. We got Dan. Great job, Dan. Thanks so much for being here. It's your first time doing a talk radio program, and it's fascinating to be on this side of the microphone, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's a little nerve-wracking, but really exciting, and really enjoying it.
Yeah, and, you know, funny thing about radio is you don't know who's listening until they call. You know, it's just a strange thing because you talk into this microphone in here, you have no idea who's listening. And when you open up the phone lines and people call, you're like, oh, there actually is people listening. And so it's so nice. We have just recently we've been told that we most likely have around 6,000 people at any given time listening to our FM. That's from our recent, however they do that data from their calls. And, so people are listening. Anyway, aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Great responses about plastic trash cans, but nobody from the county, nobody's given a solution. What county are you going to, shouldn't the county tell us what to do? Of course, you can use them for this and this and this, but there's still going to be 30 to 50,000 trash cans, plastic, that are going to Mount Mana. So I want to know why the county hasn't told us anything about it.
Well, the county is a private organization. They are not accountable necessarily, and well, unless you count election time. So it's not necessarily, in my opinion, in their interest to solve problems. They do create quite a few problems. It was quite a surprise to get the brand new mandatory garbage can in my driveway last week or the week before. But I would be interested to see if anybody from the county council or the county has any input or ideas. It'd be great if they created some kind of incentive like they do with the recyclables, the high five, the you know, soda cans and stuff like that. Give you $10 or $15 or whatever it may be to recycle it. But that is a very good point, and I thank you for raising that. I'm not sure if they offered any solution. I'm not even sure because I've been transitioning from house to house. We've been moving for the past 2 weeks, but we didn't really get any notification about the we were in an apartment complex, but we didn't get any notification about the mandatory trash cans. So that is a very good point, and hopefully somebody from the county will reach out to us or perhaps pen a letter to the Garden Island Editorial Board. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe somebody can come up with some kind of incentive idea to incentivize people to not just throw them in the dump.
The phone lines are open, 826-7771. Thanks for all the calls so far. There's a movie coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend. It's the world premiere. It's called Ina. That Which Feeds Us. World premiere is July 25th. That's next Saturday, a week from Saturday, at 7 p.m. at the Kauai Performing Arts Center. Tickets available at Eventbrite or at Ina at eventbrite.com. Inafeeds.us is the website. Here's some information.
The world film premiere of Ina, That Which Feeds Us. One night only, Saturday, July 25th, at the KCC Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6 p.m. Show starts at 7 p.m. Limited tickets available online at www.ina.eventbrite.com. Ina, that which feeds us.
The world film premiere coming up a week from Saturday. It's all filmed on Kauai, and it's about what's going on here with GMO. And there's an amazing trailer of the film at inafeeds.us. inafeeds.us. www.inafeeds.us. And I have been told that the tickets are selling really fast. So if you'd like to see the world premiere of that next Saturday, I would get on it. Ina is supposed to be an amazing movie. And the world premiere right here on Kauai, where it was filmed. So, yeah, lots going on. Lots going on. The phone lines are open, 826-7771.
I got to say, that was one of the most professionally done trailers. Just the trailer hooked me in.
Yeah,
It's very well done. I encourage everybody who has a chance to go to your computer and check out that trailer. It looks straight out of Hollywood. All filmed on Kauai. You'll see some local faces, some people you might recognize. And I am definitely going to go and see that movie for sure.
Yeah, I think it's finally, there's going to be a movie like this that can bring global awareness to what is going on here on Kauai and the West Side and all the chemical companies and what they're getting away with here. It's pretty amazing and I think it will bring awareness to the planet, a movie like this, and that's sort of what it's for. Aina, it's called. And we got another caller. Aloha, caller, you're on the air. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hey, I was just calling in to let you know that I think it's premiering at WIPOC tomorrow, the movie Ina that you're talking about. I was planning on going to it, and when I heard you tonight, I thought, oh, I was off by a week. But, no, they were talking about it at WIPOC on the North Shore.
Wow, I've heard nothing about that. So I'm looking at a flyer here for it saying the world film premiere is July 25th at 7 p.m. at Kauai Performing Arts Center.
And, there's usually not two premieres, I wouldn't think. But
yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's a different movie you're thinking of. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure what's going on, but if anybody knows what's going on at WIPOC tomorrow.
That's right. That's what I wanted to do, is just say anybody who knows for real, because I was going to go to WIPOC, and I've got some pretty strong feelings that it is tomorrow, and I think I've heard it that way, but hopefully somebody will come in and let us know, because I was really looking forward to it.
Right on.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, so if anybody knows what's going on at WIPOC tomorrow with the movie, that would be cool. 826-777 is the number here. We've got about 16 minutes left of this program. And then I'll be spinning 2 hours of music with my new show called Evolve. And that's coming up at 6. Thanks for doing this with me, Dan.
This is great.
Yeah. We also have a toll-free number, 866-275-1112, for all those people who are listening from far away. And we've got 40 of them online from all over the planet, Japan and Australia, on and on. Switzerland's listening, Canada. Amazing. KKCR.org. And thanks to Laura Christine for our amazing website on there. Our KKCR website, it's pretty cool. It has lots of pictures of people involved with the radio station. If you'd like to get involved in your community radio station, this is a great time. We're always looking for volunteers. You can call us at the office, 826-7774. If you want to be a volunteer, just like Dan did, just like a month ago. And now he's already on the air talking about stuff. So, all right. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, that'll work for me.
Cool.
I'm on the air, all right?
Yeah, what's up?
Well, I seen something in the newspaper about some dog getting tortured and shit.
Oh,
I mean,
you can't say the S word, sorry.
I know, right. I know. A dog being tortured over in Anahola, they found it tied up in a tree and its tail and paws cut off. And
I heard a little bit about that today. It sounds awful. I don't
know. Whoever's doing sick stuff like that, definitely belongs behind bars, you know. This isn't Pono. This isn't cool. And it's kind of been on my mind all day ever since my wife brought it to my attention, but, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
What's going on with that, Kauai? That's not so cool, you know. And it's just like everywhere you go, kind of like a few rotten people destroy it for a bunch of us that like
just living our normal lives, and you know, we're not addicted to ice. We're you know, like our beers in the evening and work our jobs in the day. And it's like, why can't you just be normal, man? I mean, people saying, oh, be normal. Oh, you've sold into the system and stuff. No, you've just sold into your soul, and your soul is good. And you just gotta, like, be in tune with your soul. I mean, I would never do that to a dog. I mean, my God, who would do that to a dog?
Yeah.
So
I don't have much information. I didn't read about it. I was just heard second from somebody.
I just wanted to bring it to people's attention that someone was really pee-loud the other day.
Did you read about it in the newspaper? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. My wife told me about it through internet news or something like that. So.
Yeah. Great. Well, thanks for your call.
Okay. Right. Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, speaking of breaking news, a caller from earlier, psychotropic drugs, another shooter that was on it, James Holmes, guilty of the shooting at the Aurora movie theater. That verdict came in about 8 hours ago. Gunman James Holmes was convicted Thursday in the Aurora theater shooting that left 12 people dead and dozens injured. The verdict was delivered quite quickly. He showed no emotion as the verdict was read. And it took him about an hour to read the indictment. So we're gonna wait and see what the sentence is. I'm not sure if that state, if they do life in prison or if they have the death penalty. But that has finally come to a close. That shooting was quite a while back. But today, James Holmes convicted for the death of 12 people, and that's just another person who was on one of those SSRIs, and it's very unfortunate. But it's good that the families have closure. Hopefully the sentencing will be swift, and it looks like justice was served today. It was quite a long trial. It was 11 weeks of testimony with over 256 witnesses, including those injured and the victims. Expert witnesses also testified to forensic evidence that was presented. More than 20 hours of video evidence was shown. So very interesting development. It took them quite a while to find him guilty, but that has finally come to a close.
We just got a call about what's going on at WIPAW tomorrow. There is a movie being shown. I love how community radio works. You know, you put it out there and someone calls in with the answer. It is not the movie Ina. The Ina movie world premiere is next Saturday at the KCC. But they're showing an amazing movie. It was made some years back. It's called, it's a Hawaiian. I don't want to butcher the Hawaiian language right now. But Turning the Canoe is the title in Hawaiian. Turning the Canoe, it was made on Maui, and the director actually will be there at WIPAW. The movie's at 6 p.m., and they do this every third Friday at WIPAW. They have a movie, and tomorrow is the third Friday of the month. It's at 6 p.m. They have a potluck at 5:30, and they ask you if you bring something for the potluck that's you have something be in the dish that's locally sourced. So they try to do a potluck with locally sourced food. That's at 5:30 tomorrow, WIPAW. This is just past Hanalei, a beautiful sight. And they're showing a movie tomorrow called Turning the Canoe, made some years ago on Maui. I'm sure it's an amazing movie, and the director will be there. So that's tomorrow night at WIPAW. Movie showing. And then the movie Ina is a week from Saturday, the world premiere at KCC Performing Arts Center. So, all right. And we have another caller. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
You know, I'll be brief. One of the best things I think about KKCR is they air Democracy Now at 11 till noon. It's the best news there is, and I suggest everybody who has the opportunity to listen, they do so. But on today's program, they talked about one of the subjects was President Obama visiting, the first president to ever visit a federal penitentiary.
you know, it's just after he's pardoned, you know, 46 drug offenders, nonviolent drug offenders, that some of them had life imprisonment, you know, for these draconian drug laws that are in our judicial system. And a lot of people are getting on board and realizing that we've got to change these drug laws. If people have problems with drugs, it's not a judicial problem. It's a health issue. You know, it costs too much money to incarcerate these people. It's part of why there's privatized prisons, which is really a sickening gut feeling. You know, to think that corporate entities are making money on putting poor people in jail for like you know, small amounts of drugs that really amount to nothing, and giving them extremely harsh prison sentences, like, you know, 10, 20 years for, you know, a little bit of crack. You know, it's really horrifying, the social it's terrible. You know, I mean, if you get busted, first of all, you got to have a fortune to hire a good lawyer, and then what they do is they try to plea bargain. They try to say, look, we're going to throw you in jail lock away the key, and even if you claim you're innocent, they go, well, look, you know, you'd be wise to just do a plea bargain and plead guilty to a lesser charge, so instead of getting a 20-year sentence, you'll get out in 5. And it's just this hypocritical standard of, like, morals that's entrenched in the fabric of society, you know, and politics and stuff like that. And it was good to hear this today, that a lot of people from both ends of the stick, Republicans and Democrats, are coming together to find a moral high ground, to try to be more equitable and fair to people in our world, you know, because even adult drug offenders, nonviolent drug offenders, they were once little children sitting in their mother's arms. You know, and even though, you know, I'm not promoting drugs, and if you have a addiction problem, I hope that you can find good quality medical care so you can help yourself out without costing you a fortune. But I'm just totally against, you know, these really stiff sentences that they hand out, like, you know, like M&Ms, you know, to millions and millions of people around the world. And someday it's going to stop, and I can't wait. Anyways, thank you.
Thanks so much for your call. Hello, caller. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd just like to add something to that. And it was on Democracy Now! As well. Mm-hmm. And it was what Portugal did, because they ended up having the highest rate of heroin use of anywhere. And so the leader of the country got the opposition leader, and he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to appoint a 15-person medical commission on what we should do. We're not going to put this in for a vote. We're just going to do what they say. And the guy agreed. And the commission came back and they said, okay, all the money that you've spent on putting people in jail and keeping them in jail, take that money and give people jobs with it. So if somebody is a mechanic but he has this heroin problem, you pay half of his wages for the year. And the state picks up half the wages for the year, so companies would go, okay, well, we can try this. And what they found was that their use of heroin went down immediately, and people felt productive again. And after a year, they were earning a real wage, and the companies were happy with them. It was like the other point that the man made on Democracy Now! About the whole thing was that when they do the rat experiments with the drugs, where they either have plain water or heroin water, and that's their two choices, and they're in a cage alone, that they always choose the heroin water. So that was like, okay, this is just addicting. But then when they actually made rat cages that were
user-friendly, as in they had other rats there so they could have sex, and they had nice cheese, they had nice toys. They hardly ever took the heroin water. It was on a very hardly used basis at all. And so he pointed out that it really was only boredom that made these addictions happen. And so I wanted to add that. But what I really was calling about today, and I don't know if anybody's talked about it or not before, because I haven't been around a radio, is about Our Right to Health, a talking tour that's a statewide tour of Stephanie Seneff and Judy Carman, Dr. Judy Carman and Dr. Stephanie Seneff, about Roundup and glyphosate. And the reason that they're going around and talking about this is because glyphosate, Roundup, is very toxic through multiple mechanisms, including cancer, birth defects in combination with other chemicals, changing of the gut bacteria, endocrine disruption, and other and metabolic abnormalities. Furthermore, it is being shown that glyphosate has widely contaminated the human population. So these guys are making this statewide tour to talk about the implications of all of this. And it's going to be on Tuesday night, Tuesday the 28th of July, so the last week of July, Tuesday night in Waimea at 6:30, and Church of the Pacific on Wednesday, the 29th at 7 p.m., and then at KCC on the 30th at 7 p.m., and Dr. Lauren Pang will be joining them there. So this is an incredible opportunity to ask questions and to learn a lot, and so I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that that was happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling. We Auntie Jerry called in earlier, and so she let us know. But thank you very much for the reminder as well. I'm sure many of us will turn out. I'm definitely going to try to make at least one of the events. Is this the first time she's the doctor has visited the island?
Dr. Judy Carman, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And when we were doing the 2491 thing, in the planning of that, one of the organic farmers was aware of her work. She is worked for the West Australian government, and they were talking about releasing some GMOs. So they actually did a pig study with a whole bunch of scientists, and they did it blind. The scientists didn't know which pigs had eaten and which pigs hadn't, and it's very interesting. And at the time in 2491, this farmer, he was like, this is the person that we need to come and talk to us here. And so I'm really glad that she is going to be here. She sits at an ad hoc committee at the United Nations for risk assessment and biosafety. And so I really feel like we can learn a lot from her, and this is an incredible opportunity. And I'm very glad for the coalition of groups that has come together to bring this to our population.
And that's she's going to be on the third night, correct?
No, she's going to be on every night.
Oh, every night. Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Lauren Pang is the only one who's going to be joining them on the third night that's different.
Ah, okay.
Okay. And she was really excited about that. It came about because I asked her if she knew him. And she said, oh, his work is amazing. And I was like, well, would you like him to come and speak that night, too? I can ask him. And he said, yes, I'll rearrange my schedule, and yes, I'd love to come. So it's pretty exciting to have
I've seen
people
him,
of that caliber.
I've seen him speak about chemtrails on Kauai before.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great great speaker. So yeah. Thank you very much for the call.
Oh,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Call.
Yes. Aloha.
Aloha. Well, that's about wraps it up. We're coming in 1 minute before 6 p.m. on this beautiful Thursday evening in July. Hope you're having a beautiful evening out there. Thanks for all the calls. Thanks, Dan, for being here. I got a text from somebody saying how great you did. People are really stoked to have a new voice, I think, here in our talk shows. We have some great talk show hosts, but always great to hear some other people, new people. And you're born and raised from Kauai, so that's even So it's cool too.
Yeah, thank you guys very much for having me on. It's and if any of you guys out there want to volunteer, it's great fun. It's like a family atmosphere up here at KKCR. Just feel free to show up and talk with Dove or Dean, and yeah, lots of fun.
Cool. So you've been haven't been enjoying your volunteer time.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's great. It's
good. Yeah,
I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, so easy to Dan just came in about a little over a month ago and filled out a volunteer application to get involved and started coming up here helping with our digital library, dumping CDs and helping out where we need help volunteering, and he really wanted to get involved in talk radio. And Jimmy and Jonathan both couldn't be here today, and I called Dan, and here he was, and here we pulled it off. We did it.
Success.
So, and thanks to everyone who called in to make this radio program what it is, which is really about the community and utilizing this forum that we have, which is an amazing forum to open up the phone lines and for to exchange information and thoughts. And that is sort of how I think the human race evolves, is that we all communicate with each other and share our opinions and discuss it, and hopefully we evolve through that. Which leads us right into this program, with the next program, which is called Evolve. So thanks for being here, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. And I'd like to tell you, you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Dove, and for the next 2 hours, I'm going to play some music for you. I'm going to mix it up. And but first, the county council.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of July 13th. There will be a regular council meeting Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agenda. Council Chair Raposo transmits for consideration a resolution requesting the State of Hawaii rename Kapuli Highway as the Kauai Veterans Memorial Kapuli Highway. See resolution number 2015.